Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Education Currents. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Mark Smeeby. And the name is a unique name, spelled S-M-E-B-Y. Welcome to the show. I'm going to just go through your bio here so my listeners can be as impressed as I am.
Terrific.
So he is a Nashville-based author, musician, speaker, who is all about hope, creating products, resources, and live events all focused around the topic of hope. He travels the country sharing the message of hope through his music and speaking engagements in a variety of locations, from churches, corporations, schools, and prisons. His naturally syndicated radio feature, The Live Hope Minute, is heard on 250 outlets throughout the U.S., Canada, and South Africa. Smeeby is also a spokesperson for Prison Fellowship International Children of Prisoners Program, and you can learn more if you go to pfi.org. He has released 6 music CDs, including the companion CD project to The Messenger, A Journey into Hope. His first published book in 2016, and he has also acted in co-starring roles for 2 episodes of ABC CMT's hit television series Nashville, as well as the feature films Because of Gracia, One Message, The Perfect Gift, and The Hepburn Girls. You can go to these websites to learn more. LiveHopeNow.com, is that a good one?
That's enough, yeah. LiveHopeNow.com.
That's enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's all social media stuff. If you want to go to Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you can find me there.
Well, and that's why I spelled your name, S-M-E-B-Y, because that's an interesting name.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're talking specifically today about your devotional, and so is it Live Hope Minute?
It is, yes.
Yes, I think I said Live Hope
that's
Minute
okay.
before.
It works. It works both ways. I could have called it No Hope, like K-N-O-W, like here's how you know hope, but I want to go beyond just what we know to how we live it out. So
yes.
I want it to be the Live Hope Minute.
Live Hope Minute. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rose.
And let's just start by, you can lay the background as to why hope is so important to you.
To me personally, wow, because I grew up in the church, and maybe like a lot of people listening right now, I grew up in the church. I learned all the right things to say, the right things to do. And if I can just be honest, there's a lot of times I didn't feel like it was working, like there was something wrong with me. Like I could see it working in everyone else around me, but there was something that I wasn't doing right. That put me on a treadmill of, well, I just need to do more,
mm-hmm.
you know, read the Bible more, mm-hmm. pray more, get involved in the youth group or join the puppet ministry. Or, you know, like you could get really busy. And some of that's great. I'm not discounting any of that. Some of that's really, really good stuff. But in the end, I still felt like there was something wrong with me. And this, all through this, I'm so thankful. I know that God held on to me. But it sent me on this quest to cut to the core of what is this Christianity all about? Like, what is the core of the gospel message? And I've landed on this concept of hope that through the writings and the resources, the devotionals, the radio show, my music, I set out to define that and clarify that in different people's, for people, and wherever they're at in their journey, so that hope is something that is not based on circumstances or feelings, but it transcends that. Does that make sense?
Yes, and you know, when anybody learns something, part of what God intends is for you to share it creatively. So
yes.
What happened or how did you do that?
Yeah, my love is music. So it initially started with music because music has played such a big impact on my life growing up. You'd hear a certain song and you feel like you're not alone. So when I started writing music and I made my first CD back in 2010, I started doing concerts. People started playing me on radio stations. But people started connecting with the hope message in my songs. And just to be honest, I was kind of surprised by that because it wasn't intentional. It was truly like this is what's coming out of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of hope for myself that I need to know it, but how it was coming across to other people started to bring focus to my ministry and bring focus to my creative efforts. So it started with the music, and then I started to say, well, how can I shape my live events? How can I create other resources, tools for people to know hope as well?
So I can imagine one of my listeners going, well, he's had a blessed life. He can't possibly know the horrific experiences that I'm in the midst of or have encountered. How do you minister to that person about hope?
That's a great question, and I can't fathom what some people go through. I can't fathom what some people have to suffer through for years and decades. What I can relate to is the feeling of hopelessness. I struggle with depression, and it's one of those things that sometimes you can't get out of bed, mm-hmm. even though you know you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
On a lighter day, like maybe I can't write an email that I know I need to write because I just can't, and it doesn't make any sense. And so whether that depression is something that I was born with or that has come upon me, whatever it is, it is something that I have to deal with, and God has not chosen to lift that off of me. God has not chosen to eliminate that from my life. Just like some of these people listening right now, God has not chosen to lift that burden off, not to lift that struggle or that disease or that brokenness. God is not choosing to do that. And I can either look at God and say, I am so mad at you. Why are you not doing this? Which, yes, I do have those days as well. But I have to say, if I'm claiming to be a Christian, I have to have my faith rooted in something other than the fact that God is going to rescue me. He might, and I hope he does. And I hope whoever's listening, I hope that God brings healing and restoration to your brokenness. I hope that happens. But we're not promised that. But we are promised that God is with us through it all. I am promised that God is with me, whatever is happening in my day. He's also promised to take care of me. So I picture like being held in the hands of God, and that God is caring for me in ways that I can't see or imagine, but I know that he is. And so while I can't relate to specific circumstances that people are going through, I do understand hopelessness, and that has made me fight even stronger to clarify what hope is for me and where it is rooted in my Christian faith and how to live that out.
So you're saying in essence that hope is not necessarily an emotional feeling, but it is you're pursuing it.
Yeah, it's actually a choice. You know, like I can wake up today and I'm going to say, I'm going to have hope. I'm going to look at life through a lens of hope. I'm going to look at, to me, what that means is I'm going to look at life through God's eyes. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that means that not only am I going to look at myself as a child, a beloved child of God, but then I'm going to look at everyone else that I come in contact with as a beloved child of God. And that kind of perception, that kind of living with that lens of hope, with that kind of lens of love, changes life completely. It's very difficult to stay in hopelessness living with that kind of lens of hope.
Yes.
This is a choice, though. It's not a feeling.
Yes. It's like the Apostle Paul who said, rejoice always. And again, I say
yes.
Rejoice.
Yes. And he said, no matter what the circumstances, right?
Right.
No matter what the circumstances.
And sometimes you're doing it through gritted teeth.
Right. I hate that. Don't you?
Yes.
I wish it was easier.
Because
I feel like I grew up being advertised that it was going to be easier.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian life was going to make life easier. I think the Christian life makes life more meaningful and significant and beautiful. It doesn't make it easier, though. And isn't it great that Jesus didn't say, in this life, you won't have trouble. You know, he actually
yes.
said, in this life, you will have trouble.
You will have
but
trouble.
But take heart. I have overcome them.
So you have a formula. I am anxious to hear what your formula is for hope.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you. I'll tell you where it came from first. I've done prison ministry here in Nashville for the last 23 years, hanging out with guys on the inside and developing really close relationships and learning so much from them about unconditional love. And I was sitting across the table from one of my buddies, and he said, Mark, it's great that you're the hope guy. It's great that you want to do that. It's wonderful. But can you make it tangible for me? Can you give me something that I can you know, sink into and make it my own. And I sat there kind of befuddled, but it set me on to pray about it and to mm-hmm. see God about what does that mean? What would that mean to actually like put some legs on this thing? And so that's what led me to this formula for hope. So it's a three-legged stool, if you look at it that way. The first leg is my hope has to be grounded in faith, like we've been talking about. The fact that God is telling a bigger story with our lives than we can even see or fathom. And he's got us in his hands. It's not all about me, unfortunately. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, this is not all about me. I believe that. That's the faith. It's rooted in God. The second part is to be fueled by love. Being fueled by love, meaning I'm fueled by the love that God has for me, the unconditional, unbelievable love that God has for me, which then frees me up to give that away to other people so that everything that I do, all my actions are fueled by love. If it's not fueled by love, I got to keep myself in check on that. So grounded in faith, fueled by love, and then the third leg of the stool is being guided by vision. And this is something that for me is just real practical. Like to get out of bed in the morning, I got to have something I'm working on. And so like sometimes it can be a general vision. Like I am working with God to build the kingdom here on earth. That's a great general mission. My specific mission might be I'm working on a new CD project. You know, mm-hmm. that gets me out of bed. Or I'm going to go to prison and do my prison ministry. That's like a specific vision. You know what? It works best for people when they think in terms of like when you have a vacation, like, you know, 2 months ahead, you can get through today a lot better, right?
That's
you
right. Know?
You're like, oh, I got vacation coming up. And so being guided by vision is a big part of having hope. It helps you get through the day, helps you get through what you're doing because it keeps you looking forward.
Yes, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Right, and you know what? I heard the word perish translated as wander, that without vision, we wander. Yeah. And isn't our society just a bunch of mm-hmm. wanderers? Mm-hmm. And we're being told what we should think, what we should eat, drink, wear, where we should shop. You know, like we're being
yes.
told all these things.
Yes.
And so we're wandering. Mm-hmm. But God, I believe God has placed in all of us his desires. And to come awake to those desires requires some serious discipline and some serious work, pulling away mm-hmm. and seeking to say, God, what do you have for me? And how can I live that out
yes.
to the world?
Yes, we have to take a break right here. I'm talking with Mark Smeeby, and we're talking about hope. What a great thing. We'll be right back.
Imagine yourself being tucked away for a crocodile snack. Or how about facing an injured panther? Read these and 20 more exciting true stories in the book Guide's Greatest Animal Stories. Kids will love these true stories that take them from the jungles of Asia to the backyards of America and point them to the Creator and His love. To order Guide's Greatest Animal Stories, call 1-800-765-6955. That's 1-800-765-6955. A teacher's guide is also available.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. Welcome back. You know, I love this topic of hope because I recognize that when you feel that despair, it is so hard to even function. And do you think that that creative mind has that struggle with despair or depression more than maybe us average folks that...
Well, you're not average, Rose. You know that. Don't say us average. Come on now. I think I hear what you're saying. the creative mind. I will add to that the heart-driven person, somebody that is the feeling person, which I am, like, all feeling, you know? And that can make life really overwhelming. It can make life very heavy. There are some people that seem to be able to kind of go through life and everything's fine, you know? But there is something about being a creative person, a heart-driven person, an artist, even people that may be of a more higher intelligence, that leads people to addiction. Because there's this feeling of I've gotta have a respite from all this stirring in my head. I've got too many apps running in my background. You know what I mean? It's like you just gotta close some of them somehow. So yes, it is. I totally agree that it is more difficult. But one thing that I've thought about in the midst of, I can be very self-analyzing in the midst of my despair.
Well, let's call it reflective.
There you go. Perfect. I can be very reflective. And when I feel hopeless, it's almost as if I'm thinking I can see the future. Mm-hmm. Because I'm saying, well, it's always been this way, and it's always going to be this way. You know, like my despair says it's not going to get any better. Now, that's not rooted in any kind of logic or reality. So to me, this is just a weird way to say it, but hope. I can't see the future. And so I say, you know what? I can't see what's going to happen, but because God loves me, I know it's going to be something good. My despair doesn't even have time for that.
Amen. So let's talk about your devotional, Live Hope Minute. Correct? Did I
yes,
say
ma'am.
That right?
Yes.
So what prompted you to do a devotional?
Yeah.
Most everything's been CDs.
Correct.
These one-minute shows.
Yeah. You know, after I did the CDs and started doing the concerts and started wanting to develop more resources for people and give myself more assignments, that's when I started doing the one-minute daily radio show feature, just to have an opportunity to connect with people on a real heart level when they're listening to the radio and give them a burst of inspiration. But I know that things that I hear on the radio can really go in and out the other ear really quickly, or just you're like, oh, that's nice, but you don't stop. And so that's where the desire to give something that might be a little bit more personal, and that's why we decided to print out some of these devotionals into this beautiful book. I'm so proud of how it turned out. It feels like the cover, it feels really good. It's all embossed and things like that. And
you could give it as a gift. It would be a great gift.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're giving a gift of hope. How great is that?
Absolutely. And can I tell you something I was thinking on the way over here? I'm so glad you said that. My publisher probably won't like this, but if people want to get this book off of livehopenow.com, my website, and if they use the code NRB, which is where we're at right now, just type in the coupon code NRB, the letters, I'm going to give you a free one so that you can give it to a friend, all right?
Yeah.
I know that's crazy, and I'm not going to make any money, but whatever, you know, I want people to have it. So just go to livehopenow.com, you can order your own devotional, and then type in the code NRB, and I'll give you an extra free one.
Amen.
Is that okay?
Right. You know, there's something about when you recognize the free gifts that God has given you in hope, forgiveness, love,
yes,
you want to do the same for others.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's a wonderful phenomena.
Absolutely.
So what is the biggest obstacle you think today for someone to no hope? What are the big, you know, there might be more than one. What are the biggest obstacles?
Yeah. I would say the biggest obstacle to knowing hope is our feelings. Because for me, I've lived most of my life just trying to appease my feelings. And that has nothing to do with the hope that's found in the gospel of Jesus. I wish that it did. I wish that my faith in Jesus would make all my feelings good. But it hasn't. And so I can either live by my feelings and say, God, why aren't you changing my feelings? Or I can say, God, you're wanting me to look at my life from a different perspective that is not driven by my feelings. Because we all know our feelings can drive us to do the craziest things, you know? And so I think feelings are really good in how we interact and we can show compassion to people. It can also be very negative. So I've got to keep my feelings in check.
Yes.
But to know hope, I have to know a hope that's rooted in something outside of my feelings or my emotions.
And I just realized that my younger sister, 10 years younger than me, passed away.
Mm.
And I was very sad and in the deep grieving part of my life. And I'm going, but I do have this hope. you know, I have this precious hope of eternity. I know she was saved. I have this hope. So why am I so sad?
Because you loved her so much, Rose.
I did.
I'm so glad that you were sad.
But I actually started talking to myself and saying, you know, you have a job to do. Students are waiting for you. You have other members of the family that need you. You have a husband that needs you. And even though those feelings were very intense, I think you're absolutely right. There's at some point, especially as you mature, I don't know that I could have done it as a child or...
Or in the 20s even,
yeah,
you know?
You know, looking back and seeing the bigger picture, it has been so helpful to give yourself messages.
Yes.
To talk to yourself.
Yes.
You know?
I like to think about it in terms of reminding myself of what I already believe.
Yeah.
You know, because so I can wake up and I've forgotten everything that I believe. And so that's really important, like you said, to teach yourself, but to remind yourself as well of where your hope is based.
Right. If you go in the scriptures just 4 times a week, the statistics are huge. You'll have less depression. You'll have less obesity. You'll have less addiction.
Amazing.
And so we know there's power there. There is power there. But the decision to do it. And this devotional, just go through how it's laid out.
Yeah.
So what can they expect each day?
It's a journey into hope, but each day correlates to one of the parts of the equation that I mentioned to you about being grounded in faith and fueled by hope or guided by vision. So, you know, one day might be a general, this is what hope is about. Another day might be, this is what it means to be fueled by love. So I've tried to, as you go through the year, wherever you're at in the year, as you go through it, you will grow in a deeper understanding of what it means to be not ruled by feelings, not controlled by emotions, but have your faith grounded in the hope of God. Because, you know, I love in the Bible that part where it says to build your house on a solid foundation so that when the storms come, you'll be steady. I love that the scripture doesn't say, the storms will never come. Once you build your solid foundation, they say, the storms will come, you know?
Yes.
And so we acknowledge today that these storms are present in many people's lives that are listening right now. But when our foundation is rooted in something strong, like our faith in God and our desire to be fueled by love and the part that we play in building God's kingdom here on earth, no matter what storms come our way, we're going to be solid. That's hope to me.
Yes, and that's a great way to end the show. I'm just looking at today's verse. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command, Galatians 6:2. Yes.
We need to do that.
Hopelessness
drives us to isolation. We've got to be brave and escape that isolation. That's when the enemy wins, when we're isolated.
That's right.
You know, we think that we're the only one that's going through this, you know. But you step out and you find someone else that's like, wow, you too?
Yes.
You made a friend and you're able to show compassion and love, and hope suddenly blossoms.
Yes, yes. Well, we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for this wonderful time, Rose.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.